Friends, good evening and welcome to church tonight. If you don't know me, my name is Dominic and I'm the pastor of this church. And Chris, just to fill you in on the role of the sound desk, it's like the Holy Spirit. There's three members of the Trinity, and the job of the Holy Spirit is to be self-effacing, to point people towards Christ and the Father. And you know there's a problem if everyone's focused on the Holy Spirit. And you know there's a problem if everyone is turning around and looking at the sound desk because something has gone wrong. That's my little theological analysis of the sound desk for you. Thank you for all the feedback that we've had on this Building God's People series over the last few days, particularly this Building a Great Life series. Lots of people have said how helpful it's been to have our midweek studies weaving in with the Sunday studies, and also these are terrific little small personal devotions that we've got in the pack. Who's got their packs so far? A good number of us have got the packs out. We as a family have worked through this week at our evening meal and had a really good time on those personal devotions. Tonight we're looking at service. Last week it was faith. And I really said last week, I tried to emphasise and underline, put in bold, how important it is to have faith. And it's absolutely foundational in building the great life. It is the foundational thing to have faith. And so, without faith, you cannot please God. And today I'm actually addressing what I'm going to be saying to those who have faith. Now, you may be at the point that you're here tonight, you're visiting, you're part of us this evening, but you know that right now that's not true of you. It's not true of you that you actually have come to the point where you have faith. I want to say welcome. I'm really glad you're here. And what I'm going to do is ask you to look over our shoulder this evening as we work out what it is to put that next building block in the Christian life, the life of service. And it's really working out, this is what it would be like were I to become a follower of Jesus. But if you are someone who sees yourself tonight as a follower of Jesus, then I'm posing the question, we've called this series Building a Great Life. What would make me great? What would make you great? How could I be great? God says the secret of greatness, of a great life, is service. You and I will not be great unless we learn to serve. And Jesus said in the reading that we just had, whoever wants to be great must be a servant of others. In fact, Jesus says, you might want to jot this down, Jesus says, the way to up is down. That is the total antithesis of what we learn in the media. That is the total antithesis of our whole advertising, design, industry. It's the total antithesis of our society. It's the total antithesis of the financial markets. But if you ask Jesus, what are the verbs that stand behind greatness? There's two verbs he gives us in verse 28 of Matthew 20. Two verbs, the verb give and the verb serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. That is the summary of the Christian life. A Christian life needs to be marked by giving and serving. And as we get underway today, I want to say tonight, it's interactive church. We've tried to pare everything down to make it shorter. We've only had one song. If you're visiting tonight, I'm going to be much shorter than usual. Old timers are here thinking, I can't believe that. But usually I go much longer. But we've cut things down to the very... because we're not looking for a response tonight of just listening. We're not looking for the response of, good job, Dominic, that was terrific, keep it up, 25 minutes, love that, do it again next week. That's not what we're looking for. We're actually going this evening to we're going to do a ministry expo at the end of our meeting tonight. We're not just going to be hearers of the message tonight, we're going to be doers of the message tonight. And so we've set up little booths around the place. You can see some of the signs. I can see missionary support over there. I can see logistics ministry over there. There's one over there about thinking, I think, and there's one over there about the ministry of the word and prayer. But we'll get Kath up and we'll work through what these different booths are for. But we're having this ministry expo because if you grab the... Everyone got one of the handout sheets that we got when we came in? Just grab one of those handout sheets that we got. And you'll see in that handout sheet Thank you. If you've got one of these handouts, if you haven't got one, put your hand up. Everyone needs a handout sheet, and it's not enough to have one between couples. We need to have every single person to have a handout sheet tonight. And you'll see there, it's Ministry Expo. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great must become a servant of others. It's got name. I have not, cross out, been given a Building God's People pack. Can you just fill that in and let us know whether you've got one of the packs, and we'll work out why you haven't got one if you haven't got one. I'm not planning to come to the Decoding Da Vinci Night if you're coming. My comments. But then you'll see these 7 points, all raising the question of service. And we're applying this to members. We're applying this to people who call Jesus Lord, who have faith. If you don't have faith, remember, you're looking over our shoulder through this whole procedure. But if you have faith, look, I won't particularly mind if you go off in a daydream and start reading through this and think, oh, okay, ministry of word and prayer. So, do you know, I was speaking one day, I saw somebody in the back row. They had the Southern Cross, which is out this week and a good read. Thanks, Madeline. And they were there in the back row reading Southern Cross like that. And every so often they looked over to see what I was doing up the front. And I find that really perturbing when I'm speaking. And so if you do that this evening, I'll stop and name you. But I won't mind if you work through this brochure. That'll be a helpful thing to work through this. You can go off in a daydream on that anytime you want. Let's ask God to help us hear him tonight as we think about how we can serve him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight keen to hear you speak to us. We want to be yours. We want to live for you. We want to live rightly before you. Thank you for the good start to this Building God's People series. We pray for those people who, even tonight, haven't yet joined home discussion groups. We pray that they'd be able to be part of those groups, even tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this week. We pray that as a family we might grow, that you might use us in serving you. We pray that you might make us like Jesus, the one who served and who gave. We pray that you might help us to serve and give like Jesus did. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. That verse I opened with, that verse I mentioned a moment ago, I want to put that in context for you. Matthew chapter 20, sentence 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. What is it you want, he asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now that is muddled motives. On the one hand, you've got these two sons who are followers of Jesus. They've done the right thing. They're Zebedee's sons. Zebedee is a fisherman. Zebedee runs a small business. And James and John are his sons. They've left their nets and followed Jesus. They've left their dad's small business. They're following Jesus. And yet, as they follow him, they're starting to dream of power. They're starting to dream of prestige. They're starting to dream of esteem. And they want authority and they want preeminence and they want to be important when Jesus' kingdom is fully consummated. And, you know, I can relate. Don't know if you can relate. But an invitation comes to me to speak at something. And I want to say yes. Why do I want to say yes? Well, it's because I want to serve Christ, because I want to help advance the kingdom of Christ. It's because I think it's a great way to serve Jesus, because I think it's a good event that will help people get to know Christ better. But in my worst moments, it's because I like seeing my name on the brochure. Well, you just arrive at church and somebody says, would you mind just checking that the hand towel bin's not overflowing in the toilets, would you mind just vacuuming the floor foyer, do you know the enormous amount of work that has to be done each week here setting up for that kids' adventure club? I turned up here at 5 o'clock, 5:30 during the adventure club on Thursday afternoon. There's big decorations up. There's kind of chemistry. It's amazing, and people have packed up and set up, so you walk in. Somebody says, "Could you vacuum up there?" Because you know what happened after kids this morning, after the kids' crash was up there this morning? It's not been vacuumed up. There's still crumbs all over the place. So somebody says, could you vacuum up? Because we've got the welcome supper on tonight. We haven't got it on tonight. That's why it's not vacuumed. And I do the work, and then there's this little part of me that wants to be noticed. Look, Lord, did you see what I did was good? Look, you, did you see what I did was good? Just a little bit of prestige. That'd be nice. And Jesus says to James and John and me and you, that's not the way to think. He looks at them, he looks at us, and gently but firmly puts us in our place. Sentence 22, you don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. And that's right, they don't. See, they're saying, hey, Jesus, we want to be up. And Jesus says, if you want to be up, you've got to go down. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? I mean, Jesus is going up, but before he goes up, he goes down. What is this cup? Context? Flick with me, Psalm 75. Finger in Matthew 20, back to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, sentence 8. Psalm 75, sentence 8. In the hand of the Lord is a cup, full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. It's the cup of judgment. Jesus is predicting his death. Jesus is saying the punishment that is due to the wicked of the earth, I'm going to take that punishment. I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to drink it down to its dregs. It's like taking a big mug of filter coffee and there's coffee grounds at the bottom, because Michael didn't make it and Sam didn't make it, and so there's coffee grounds at the bottom. And I get to the bottom of the cup and then I drink the dregs. And so it's saying I've drunk it all. It's all gone, even the worst bit of it I've drunk. I'm going to take it all. And Jesus says, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Will you drink the dregs? And they say, we can. Which I take it means they don't really understand what he's going to go through. And Jesus then turns to them and says, 23, you will indeed, back to Matthew 20, 23, you will indeed drink from the cup. And he's saying, you're asking for glory, but I'm giving you suffering. You're asking for up, but the promise is down. He's promising them awful debts. You read in Acts chapter 12, sentence 1. Don't look it up, just jot it down. I'll read it to you. It was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with his sword. James was killed, sword rammed through him. Or John, Revelation chapter 1. John is the writer of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 1, he's on a prison colony island off Greece. We have to be clear on this. Jesus did not preach the prosperity gospel. Jesus preached a gospel of going down in order to go up, of serving in order to be glorified. What'll happen if you serve well? Well, there's no promises from Jesus. See what he says, 23, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. But there is a right and left. Heaven is not egalitarian. There is a pecking order in heaven. Some do get to sit closer to the King. How could I be great? What is the way to greatness? Jesus gives a clue. He gives a tip on what might please the Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Okay, not to act like them. How am I to act in the kingdom of Christ? Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Jesus, the way to up is down. To be first, you'd be a slave. To be great, you'd be a servant. It's irony, isn't it? Now, the word minister, which means servant, has come in politics and come in religion to be a status word, a power word, when really it's a word that means slave. And Jesus, he did not just talk, he walked, walk. See 28, just as the Son of Man, that's me, Jesus, he said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, he came to serve. The Son of Man, he had every reason to be served. He had every reason to respect attendance. He had every reason to expect servants, coaches, horses, carriages, a kingdom. And yet he served, and the preeminent act of his service was that he laid down his life. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave, delivered, substituted, ransomed. He was given over in sacrificial death his life. For many, there was immeasurable impact, a number too many to count. Will you serve like the Master? That is the first question to us tonight from the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you go down in order to go up? And before we answer, let's look at a man who did. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Come with me to Colossians chapter 1. Come land there for a few minutes. His life was lived out in service. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at this man. Let's learn from this man. Let's be like this man. Let's read about his life. Colossians chapter 1, sentence 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1, sentence 24. Now, I rejoice. Rejoice in what was suffered for you. Paul is rejoicing that he could suffer. Rejoicing that he could suffer in what? In 25, I've become a servant. He's rejoicing that he could suffer in being a servant. He's rejoicing that he could suffer in being a servant of the church. He's rejoicing that he could suffer as a servant in building the church, in building God's people. And that is our vision as a church, to build the people of God, to reach the neighbourhood, the media, the district, to change the nation. And Paul rejoiced. He was delighted. He was thrilled that he could suffer to be a servant. He knew the way to up was down. And he went down and suffered and rejoiced that he could suffer. What does this verse 24 mean, though? I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant. I think it is that Paul is rejoicing that he can suffer hardship for their sake. He sees that there'll be advantage for them if he suffers. So he serves. Happily serve sufferings to serve. We've got to see that the church is built. God's people are built. Built up, built out. Grab this, write this down, by repeated acts of self-denial in successive generations. That's how God's church is built, by repeated acts of self-denial. The body of Christ, the Christian church, is a suffering body. Christ suffered, James and John suffered, Paul suffered, we suffer. And so Paul, because he's able to suffer in order to build Christ's church, he rejoices that he can do that. It is great, he says, that I can be like Jesus, that I can put myself out, that I can serve, that I can give. He so identifies with Christ's mission. He so identifies with Christ's goal. He serves and serves until it hurts. And he serves till it feels good. And it does feel good. Because it's right. It is right to be serving Christ like that. Paul doesn't look at his suffering with sadness. He doesn't look at his suffering with perplexity. He looks at his suffering with joy. Because with every bit of suffering that he is able to go through, he is contributing to the work of Christ. He's filling up in his flesh what still needs to be done. You walk out of here today as somebody who identifies as Christ, and you do not nominate. You walk out of here today and say, oh, yeah. You do that, you will be missing out on joy. You will be the loser. Let me tell you honestly, you miss out on giving. You miss out on having your figure as part of this figure on the Gift and Pledge Sunday on June 4. You will be the one who misses out. Somebody said to me during the week, why are we spending 5 weeks on this? Because we want everyone to be given the opportunity of rejoicing in the suffering, to serve the body of Christ. Paul's service, his suffering is directed at benefiting Christ's body, the church. So 24, I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I fill up in my flesh what's still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, was the church. He wanted to do everything he could. While there's energy in his bones, he got that form, wrote that thing down. He didn't do the minimum. He wanted to serve. He serves the church. It's put in a different way here in 26 and 27. He serves them and you. I mean, it's tricky. You may want to jot this down, read it again later when you've got more time. But the them, that's the Jewish Christians. The you, that's the Gentile Christians. Paul's writing to a little church predominantly of Gentile Christians. Jews, people of God, children of Abraham down through history. Gentiles, they're everyone else. The gospel comes first to the Jewish people. But then Gentiles start to come to Christ, and he's writing to a Gentile church. And so Paul writes to them the mystery, verse 26, that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to the Jewish Christians, to them, to the Jewish Christians. God has chosen to tell them, to make known among them the news among the Gentiles. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, Gentiles, the hope of glory. And what Paul is saying is, whether you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. That you've come to Christ, whoever it is that's come to Christ, I'm about serving them. I'm about loving them. I'm about building them. And in fact, he goes even, whoever it is, everyone. He's everyone who's come to Christ. I'm about building that people. And so you see it in 28. We proclaim him. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Everyone is everyone. Everyone, whether they're Jew, whether they're Gentile, whoever they are. We want Sydney's media presented perfect in Christ. But we want the inner west presented perfect in Christ. But we're broader than that. We want the retirees presented perfect in Christ. We want the geriatrics presented perfect in Christ. We want high school kids presented perfect in Christ. We want primary school children presented perfect in Christ. We want babies presented perfect in Christ. We even want people from the North Shore presented perfect in Christ. And so we have a whole range of service opportunities. Serving through word and prayer, serving children through word and prayer, serving by caring for others, training in service, serving missionaries. So all range of things, stack of things you can choose from. And what we want you to do at the end, you can start now if you want, but you could concentrate the other alternative, is to circle what you're currently doing and tick what you'd be interested in having a conversation about. Now, that your ticket doesn't mean you get to do it. I could tick all the ticks I like on song leading, and they're still not going to ask me. But key criteria for being asked to serve in this church is, do you have faith? That's last week. Why was Paul doing it? Why was Paul serving? What was his purpose in serving? The goal is 25, to present the word of God in all its fullness. I have become, 25, its servant by the commission. He's commissioned by God to do this. That God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. That's got to be the goal in our church, to hold the word of God fully before people. That is the end purpose of this church. And if you look at any of these different serving opportunities, in the end, the caring missionaries, the support for ministry, the administration, all of it in the end is pointing towards presenting the word of God fully. That is why I want to so strongly encourage you to think about how you can be trained in ministry, to be better able to present the word of God fully. Because as God people are built, we're going to need more people trained in ministry to do more work, more service, to present everyone perfect in Christ. Just note the next sentence, to this end, 29, I labour. I struggle I'm struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. When we do this service, when we do it in the energy of God, when we do it by the power of God, we actually find we have more energy than we thought, because God is working in us. That is true. I've spoken to a number of you around this place, and we've done things in service of Christ that you didn't think you could do, as God has worked in you. It's true of us. Kathy and I, we've thought about this 29 in the context of the financial gift. We're asking for this gift and pledge. We're asking everyone to be involved. We've asked me. Everyone's been involved to come up with a figure. I said last week I'd tell you what I'd decided to do. And Kath and I have come up with a figure for us. And it's a figure hot. We've kept putting it up. We first started to talk about it in February. And I've actually been conscious. We've come to a figure that we're rejoicing. It's a struggle. It's a sacrifice. But we feel good about it. But we think God has brought us to this. But I said last week that I would share with you how we'd come to the conclusions that we've come to, because I thought it might be helpful for you as you think through what I'm encouraging you to do over the next 3 weeks or so. And part of the reason I'm going to share this with you is because of chapter 2, sentence 1. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you. Paul is clear that he wants the Colossian Christians to know what he is going through for them. Why are we building this ministry tool? To better love you and better love the people that we've not yet met who are coming into Christ through this ministry. And I've asked you in the Building God's People packs to make a contribution, a cash gift and then a pledge for the next 36 months. And I talked this over with a minister friend from Wollongong. And as we talked, he urged me to not be as discreet as my normal pattern would be in the thinking behind our contribution. And I've had my attention drawn. I want to take you through the thinking behind what I'm just about to tell you from 1 Chronicles 28. So in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 28. What I'm about to say is just a statement for our church members. If you're a visitor here tonight, I'm really glad you're here. I'm really glad you can look over our shoulder as we do the thinking as a family tonight. But can you just respect our confidentiality on this point, my confidentiality on this point? 1 Chronicles 28, sentence 20. David also said to Solomon, his son, King David, king of Jerusalem, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He'll not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The divisions of the priests and the Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God, and every willing man skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command." Now, really, there's a whole lot of people who are out doing the work. We've got a development committee and a parish council, church council, that have been working very hard on doing the work. And David, he's not the one to build the temple. What is David's task? His task is to raise the money. And I'm actually seeing that as my role. I'm not the one to engage the surveyor, but I'm the one who needs to exercise spiritual leadership on this project, the kind of leadership that Moses led, as he led the people to build the initial tabernacle is David exercised here, is Nehemiah exercised later in the Old Testament. David says, sentence 2, with all my resources. Look at chapter 29, sentence 2. This is David making his statement to the people of God. Jeremiah 29, 2. With all my resources I've provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colours, and all kinds of firestone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything I've provided for this holy temple, here's his personal gift, 3,000 talents of gold, gold of a fire, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building, for the gold work and the silver work, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. What David does is give himself from his personal bank account. He says, I'm in this. And he makes a significant sacrifice. And I talked to my mate, minister of large church, and he told me how they built the building, the ministry tool that they needed to build God's people. And he said to me, you know, Dominic, you're going to grow spiritually through this. And then he started to tell me about how he had grown personally, spiritually, as they went through this process. He said, before we got into the process, I'd expected to give. But I didn't. And he said, and I knew there were some wealthy people in our church, and I thought they would probably give large amounts. But I didn't think that I would really have to sacrifice, really. And he told me that as they went through the process and got closer to the date that they were going to have an appeal, he and his wife really decided to give and really decided to sacrifice. And then he said, he'd read 1 Chronicles 28, 29, and he said, our people, when they saw me sacrifice and they saw how committed I was, that I was rejoicing and suffering to be a servant of the church, then they started to sacrifice as well. And King David, having outlined what his family is doing, puts it on the line himself, sentence 6, 1 Chronicles 29, sentence 6, now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? He said, this is what I'm doing, now will you do it? And then what happened was sentence 6, the leaders of the families, then 6, the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. I'm going to tell you what Kathy and I are going to do in a moment, but you see on the back of the outline, there's a date there on the 19th of May, and we've actually got down Church Leaders Advanced Gifts Dinner. And we've put it to the parish council and we've put it to the staff that that's the day that we'd like them to turn in their gift and pledge forms. We were originally thinking of the Bible study group leaders as well for that date, but we've actually gone back to having the Bible study group leaders with everyone else on the 4th of June. But on that date, we're asking the church and the church council and the staff to give in their forms, because that's what David did. And the leaders, verse 6, of the families, the officials, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the officials in charge of the king's work, gave willingly. They gave towards the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. Apparently it'll be Ben Koo. But, that's just a paraphrase. The leaders gave. And what happened then? Verse 9, the people rejoiced at the willing response. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders. for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced greatly. The people give, and then there's praise. The people give then, and then there's praise to God and a banquet. Verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendour, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honour come from you. The money comes from him. You are ruler of all things. Your money, my money, comes from him. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." But 14, this is our prayer for the celebration Sunday. This is the prayer we're going to pray Sunday, God willing, Sunday, June 11. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, Lord. And we've given you only what comes from your hand. God's given it to us and we're just giving it back. We're aliens and strangers in your sight as we're all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for this abundance, this large amount that we've provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand and all of it belongs to you." And I've reflected on it and thought, wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as a church could pray that prayer that day? And so my friend said to me, "Dominic, if you want to pray that prayer as a church on the 11th of June, then you need to let people know that you and Kathy are in there and struggling, rejoicing, struggling." And so the Apostle Paul says, Colossians chapter 2, sentence 1, "I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you." He wants the Colossian Christians to know what he's going through. There's arguments against what I'm about to do. Some might think the Bible says don't. Matthew 6 is the verse, if you want to check it out. Jesus is, I think though Jesus there is speaking of motive. That you're not to pray, you're not to do your fasting, you're not to do your acts of righteousness in order to show off. And that's absolutely right. You must not do it if your motive is to show off. And I am absolutely clear that I'm not doing this to show off. Because I do not want to do this. Another reason not to do it is that in Australia it's not done. American evangelical Christianity it is, but not in Australia. And so I started to read the Bible as I've been thinking about this the last few months. And David, he does it clearly in 1 Chronicles 29. Nehemiah 7, verse 70, he does it. Some of the heads of the Nehemiah 7:70, if you want to jot it down, look it up later. Some of the heads of the families contributed to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 drachmas of gold. It's listed, it's public. The pattern in the giving in Nehemiah is the leader's gift is made public, the collective leader's gift is made public, and the leaders of the people... Or Jesus, he's talking to that woman. She puts in 2 coins and he says, "Your heart's right." Her gift is public. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 4. They announced their amount, but they failed to give the amount they announce. Why are they struck down dead? Not for announcing their amount, but for announcing an amount and then not giving it. Kathy and I have been thinking hard since February. And I want to say to you, not to your friends, not to the people from other churches, not to your minister friends, not to put on your blog, but Kathy and I have come to the conclusion we had intended to stop renting our little backyard flat, little granny flat out, in January this year. And we dreamt, we moved into this house 5 years ago, and we dreamt that we'd have to rent the little flat out for the first couple of years to pay the mortgage. But we didn't. We thought we'd get to a time when we didn't have to share our house with someone. And we have decided that we're going to have a homestay person for another 3 years. And we've worked out that if we can feed them for another 3.5 years, and that's going to mean them sitting at our table most nights of the week. And I think sell an investment that we can pledge an amount of over the 3 years. Now that for us is a high figure. It's an amount that we feel is a sacrifice. But to put it in perspective, it's a smaller sacrifice than any of our MTS people are making this year, making over these couple of years. They're earning 15 grand this year, and they have walked away from salaries much, much, much higher than that. It's a smaller sacrifice than they are making. But it's a sacrifice, and I can make it, say, look, it's a sacrifice for me, but I feel good about it. I rejoice in it. Because when the totals are announced on the 11th of June, I only think our bit's there. And that we've done what we could. Now, how do I want you to react? Well, don't tempt me to do the wrong thing. Don't tempt me down the Matthew 6 line. How do I want you to react? Well, I was at a big convention once and the speaker finished and they all clapped and he challenged the people and they all gave him this uproarious applause. And he got back up and he said, I actually feel uncomfortable if you clap. You'll honour me not by clapping, you'll honour me by heeding my teaching. And so, friends, I say to you tonight, you'll honour me not by repeating what I've said to give me a big head, but you'll honour me if you get involved in rejoicing in your sacrifice to serve the people of God. That is my prayer. That is my hope. Back on track. Paul's next goal, 1:24, is to fill up in his flesh. 1:24, Colossians 1. He wants to take on the suffering of others. He wants to fill up in his own flesh the available suffering. To fill up in his own flesh the struggle of his time and resources. He said, I don't want to know what is the minimum. I don't want to know what I can get away with. I don't want to know what is the average that everyone else is going to just kind of rise to. He's saying, show me what needs to be done. Tell me, let me at it. Well, we've got an average in this church. There's an average kind of commitment here. I'm back on track on service. There's an average kind of commitment here. What is the average in this church? It's turning up on Sunday. That's point one in average. Point two in average is turning up, being part of small group, small Bible group, weeknights. If you're not in one, we'd like you to join one this week. We can take you this week. If you talk to Andrew at the end of the meeting, he'll talk to me at the end of the meeting, we'll find you one for this week. That's point two. Point three as a member of this church is to be involved in some kind of formal service. Could be any of these things on that list. Any one of them, but to have some kind of formal service week to week. That's point three. Point four, in average, is to be involved informally in serving somehow in this church. Might be that you meet up with a friend and read the Bible with them. I walked through the pub just before about 5:30 this afternoon, and there's four or five couples in there with the Bible open, reading, encouraging each other in Christ. That's service, that's informal service. And the fifth way to be involved in the ministry here in this church is being financially committed. And we're talking about the average commitment is kind of $50 a week. That's what many people are doing. That's to support the pay of people like Andrew, me, Kath, pay for the electricity, pay for the gas, that kind of thing. That's before we start to build the building. Now, Paul's saying, let me add it. Let me fill it up. Let me fill up in my flesh. Let me see how far I can go. Now, some will be able to do that average. Some won't. I mean, some can't. That's true, isn't it? I mean, there's some here tonight, and you're here, and I don't want you to feel bad about me making this point. I'm absolutely delighted that you're here. If you say, Dominic, all I can do is get here once a week. That's the maximum. I can't do any more than that. God is delighted that you're here. For what it's worth, I'm delighted that you're here. That is fantastic. But what if you're here and you know you can go more? You know you've got room. You know you can give more than average. You know you can serve more than average. Paul says, I want to fill up in my flesh. I want to go beyond. And he went beyond. And why did he go beyond? Because his mindset's not to stop at average. Now, what is his goal? His goal is chapter 2, sentence 4, my purpose, my goal is that they might be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they might have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they might know the mystery of God, namely Christ. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's what Jesus was on about, that they might be united in love. That's why Jesus came. He came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. That's why he came. He came to give. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what the Apostle Paul is on about, that they might be completely united in love, that they might have the full riches of complete understanding, that they might know Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing this series ultimately, that you might, but you here tonight, that you might be united in love. That's why we're building this ministry tool. That's why we're raising funds, so that more people might be united in love, that they might know Christ. I got a conclusion. I was going to go to question time, but I think we won't, because we want to have more time for the expo. So in discussion group this week, pick up with the issues raised. Conclusion, two questions, one from Jesus, one from Paul. First one from Jesus is, do you want to be great? Do you want to be great? What is the answer to that for you? What is your position on, do I want to be great? Well, Jesus says the answer is, the way to up is down. The way to be great is to serve. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to give. And Jesus did it till it hurt. Why? To bring many sons and daughters to glory. And do you know, one day, God is going to have Dominic stand before him. God is going to have you stand before him. He's going to have you stand before him. He's going to have you stand before him. You're going to stand before God, and God's going to say to you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the talent I gave you? What did you do with the bank account I gave you? What did you do with the resources I gave you? What did you do with the ability that I gave you? Did you use it to help anyone else? Were you ever unselfish? Did you ever give back, or were you just a taker in life? Were you ever a giver? Where you did something totally, totally unselfish that you got no personal benefit from. What did you do with what I gave you? And if I come back to God and say, oh, look, I'm sorry, God, I was kind of busy. I mean, I had some plans and I had some goals and I wanted to go overseas and I thought it'd be really cool for me, and I never really got time to get in on your plan. I was just too busy to be serving. God's going to look you in the eyes and go, hello? What were you thinking? Do you think I put you on earth to live for yourself? Of course not. The real rejoicing that I intended for your life is found in giving your life away. You missed it. Wrong answer. What were you thinking? I'm going to be accountable to him one day. I don't want to imagine. I don't know what you want to imagine about what it's going to be like facing up to the Lord Jesus on the last day, standing before in heaven. And Jesus said, when I went to earth, Dominic, you know, when I went to earth. Ed, you know, when I went to earth. Will, did you know this? When I went to earth. Jan, when I went to earth, my purpose was to give and serve. What was yours? What about the Apostle Paul? He rejoiced. I rejoice. I rejoice that I can suffer. I rejoice that I can suffer to serve. Mature Christian will be committed to service. An immature Christian will be committed to serve us, serve me. For an immature Christian, it's all about me. But integral to the Christian life that I'm praying that we as a church will develop during this period leading up to June 4 is, and beyond that, is a life of service. And friend, I want to challenge you tonight. And I want to say this clearly so that no one misunderstands me. If in your heart you have no longing to serve, then I actually want to question whether or not you're really Christ's. And service involves reliability. And reliability means rosters and timetables and taking turns. And I know I want to be sporadic and I know I want to be spontaneous, but maturity involves rosters. Pastoral work, that's true. True on service, it's true on money. Some of us aren't on the direct debit system, and frankly, if we're not on the direct debit system, we're basically unreliable. Do you know we had a church meeting here a couple of weeks ago? Great, a lot of people here for church, and you know what the giving was in the box? $2. Frankly, if we're not on direct debit, we're unreliable. Now, what are you going to do? I'm going to walk out of here in a moment. I'm going to close in prayer. We're not going to have a last song. We're going to go to the ministry fair. We're going to get Kath, you want to come up here? We're going to get Kath to tell us where the different people are going to be. Come on. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do when we kind of break and we don't have the last song? We just break in a moment. You're going to say, well, that was pretty good, shorter than usual. Getting out of here early today, that's good. And you drive off, go and have dinner somewhere and say, well, do you think God brought you here for that tonight? No. Do you think God brought you here tonight just to tickle your ears? No. No, God brought you here tonight to be a hearer, then a doer. Okay, no closing song. We're going to go to those places. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to go and do the word of God tonight. Let's pray. Our Lord God, this is exciting. This weekend, more than 100 people taking a step of faith in how we can serve you. How we can get involved in some form of unselfish service. Lord, we have heard from the Lord Jesus. We have heard from him that the way to up is down. Help us, Lord, to be serving you. Help us, Lord, to be putting others first. Help us, Lord, to look to Jesus as our model. Help us to see that he who gave his life, that he who gave his everything, help us to fill up in our flesh. Help us to do what we can. Help us to serve. Help us to give. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Help us to look at Paul the way he served, the way he rejoiced, the way he suffered in serving. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in the light of eternity. Help us to remember that one day we will give an account to you. And thank you. Thank you for the privilege of serving you by serving others. Amen.